left or right, if you bleed red or blue. You better listen up, friends, cause we got a show for you.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Cody Talks. It is Sunday, June 2nd, 2013. Beautiful day here in Kansas so far. I like the summertime. I'm kind of an early morning guy, about 6 days out of the week. I always pick one day and sleep way in, but I like the summertime and getting up and it being, and I like it at 6 o'clock in the morning when it's light outside.
It's cool. Nice and cool, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Great day. It's clear out there. I don't know why I always lead off with the weather. The weather's such a big part of our lives here in the Midwest. And especially this past week. I think that we have to, I know everyone's heard it, 1,000 times in the last 48 hours, but I don't think you can hear it enough that we need to keep these people down in the Oklahoma City area in our hearts and minds. And quite honestly, they're going to need a little bit more than our thoughts and prayers. Last week, we were giving you Red Cross and Salvation Army information for you to be able to text to help the people down in the Oklahoma City area. And who'd have thought we'd be coming back around again this week needing to do the same thing over again. Those people got pounded again and in the same general area. Don't get me wrong. This is a tough breed of people in Oklahoma, especially when you start getting into those suburban areas of Oklahoma City. There's a lot of ag, a lot of farm people down there, and they will rebuild, but they're going to need our help a little bit. So keep them in your heart, keep them in your minds, but please take the time to text Red Cross to 90999. It's a $10 donation. It couldn't be any easier. Literally, it's going to take you about 15 seconds to do that. And it's amazing how they set up these systems, and we can help from anywhere in the world. They've made it super convenient. It's going to take you 15 seconds. Red Cross to 90999 or Storm to 80888. The second one, the Storm, is the Salvation Army, obviously texting Red Cross. Both of those will take a $10 donation off of your phone bill. And quite honestly, these people have just been rocked twice now in a matter of 10 days.
About 10 days.
11 days. They need our thoughts and prayers and all of our Facebook posts that everyone does so well. They need us to take it a step further, folks, and go ahead and get a couple dozen million of us to take the time to send a $10 text. No matter how tight you think things are in your life right now, these people's houses are splinters right now. So let's help them out with that and show everybody that we can all come together and get these people's lives back on track. Because they're going to stay there. Most of them are going to stay there. I did see one lady on the news last night that said she was moving. But I know a lot of folks in the central Oklahoma area, and they're a bunch of hard-headed, tough people. They're going to stay there and ride it out and, keep doing what they do. So let's help them out a little bit. We already have our guest on the line. I apologize to the guest for making you wait. I just feel like that needed to be said. Our guest is author David Rolander. David, are you there? David, it's are you in California?
I am in California, yeah.
So you're either a very early bird, or we got you up a little early this morning.
What time? Both, actually.
it's about 5 o'clock in the morning out there right now, isn't it?
Yeah, sure enough.
David, you're an author. a leadership speaker, an executive development and CEO coach. Give us the author part. I think most of my listeners will comprehend. Give us a little bit of the leadership speaker, executive development, CEO coach. Tell us what all that means and encompasses and what you do on a daily basis.
But, you know, if you don't mind, I listening to your weather report and your talk, talking about what's going on down there with the tornadoes and everything, I couldn't help but reflect on the very first page of the book, and it says, the chapter is How Did People Really Change? And there's a quote in there by O. Henry, and it says, it ain't the roads we take, it's what inside of us that makes us turn out the way we do. It ain't the roads we take, it's what's inside of us that makes us turn out the way we do. And I've been down in your part of the country many, many times, done a lot of seminars down there, and the quality of the people has always, always impressed me. I mean, it is the heartland of America. The people down there are so strong. They have a strong faith. They are just good people, and they're going to come through this. And our hearts out here in California and our wallets go out to y'all down there. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's a little bit, the only thing we can do to compare to it, which hopefully we don't do, is the crazy earthquakes and the fires we have. But that's what's so beautiful about America is we pull together, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
The purpose of the book and the whole reason I wrote the book, it's called The CEO Code, How to Create a Great Company and Inspire People to Greatness with Practical Advice from an Experienced Executive. Well, I've been around a long time, and many decades, and the reason for the book is to try and help people understand how important communication is, how important execution is. You've got to get off your duff and do it. And then the last part of the book talks a little bit about how to work together with operations, teamwork, and delegation, and those kinds of things. So it's designed for CEOs and people in the executive suite. But what's amazing to me is that many executives that have read the book want another copy because they want to give it to their kids or they want to give it to somebody that they really care about.
So it is a little bit of not just a be the CEO of a big company, but be the CEO of your life. It works in that aspect as well.
Exactly, exactly. In fact, one of the metaphors I use a lot is you are your own company. You have to work on your own marketing. You have to work on your own research and development. You have to work on yourself. So the book is all about how do you work on yourself? How do you improve yourself? Especially in communications. The whole bedrock of this book is how to have effective communication. So it goes into, I think, something that you can relate to down that part of the country. I know out here it's true how important for effective communications trust is. What we see going on in America today, trust is so very, very important. And then there's a chapter about respect and then understanding and empathy. And then ultimately you got to get off your duff and do something, execution.
Yeah, I think that's I speak a lot about being an entrepreneur. And not just in the business sense, but just having an entrepreneurial mindset about your life. I think that's just, different wrapping paper on the gift of being an entrepreneur versus being the CEO of you as a company. I think it's the exact same type of mentality. And I'm a firm believer that really, it's what separated America out over the last 225 years is that so many people were kind of just inspired by the freedoms that we have to look at themselves as their own individual company. And if they were a successful CEO, it's why we have so many gigantic, not necessarily rags to riches, some rags to riches, but also some just incredible individual success stories in the United States, comparatively, is people attacking life as a CEO, even if they were just a company of one. I really like that concept. I like the stuff that you have as well, obviously dealing with even giant corporations and true traditional CEOs. But I really like that be a CEO of yourself, consider yourself a company concept.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. I was in the service. I was in the Air Force years and years ago, and even there, where you had to yes sir and do what you were told and all that stuff. It's still so much of it was taking your own initiative that I learned. It makes the whole difference. Makes the whole difference in the world is you got to get up and do what you know is right. And in time, it comes through if you do what is right and persist. When, you know, some people try and take shortcuts and the like, but it doesn't pay. It just doesn't pay in the long run. And the whole thing in the beginning of the book about communications, it basically, the thrust of it is that if you get along with people well, if people communicate with you well and all that, if you do communicate well with people, it's about you. And if you have difficulty communicating with people, it's also about you. You're the captain of your own ship. You control that communication. And as you learn and understand all of the nuances of communication, you realize that, yes, you do. You totally control it.
Okay, I don't want to seem like the... Because I'm really not all that old, really. But I don't want to seem like the old grumpy guy that's just judging society today. But do you feel like we've lost some of that you're the captain of your own ship, which again is just another way of phrasing the joys of America, that you everyone kind of starts from a different place, and I realize that, and it's easier for some and harder for others, but the joy of America is you can go and accomplish just anything that's humanly possible that you want to. Have we lost a little bit of that attitude in America where, and I'm speaking more on a personal level here, or a, you know, an individual person level. Have we lost some of that you're the captain of your own ship mentality? It just seems like I get this sense of a lot of people that are approaching life like they're trapped on someone else's ship and have no control over it, when in fact, I don't believe that's true for anyone in America, really.
No, I think what's happening is that we're more aware of it because of the way the media works today. We understand and have become aware of people that are, let's say, in trouble, or people that are downtrodden or whatever, and that sells. And so there's more focus on it by the media. But I do a lot of work with universities and with young people. I volunteer at University of California in Irvine to mentor MBA students and that kind of thing, and I am continually inspired by the energy, the enthusiasm, the independence, the wanting to achieve that I see in young people today. I mean, my son is just yesterday, we celebrated his 40th birthday, and his enthusiasm and excitement and they've got a young family, two young kids. Yesterday I was holding my little grandson, who's just a month old, for about an hour. It was just so exciting. But his brother, who's three, is just full of it. And I don't care whether you're three or whether you're 30. I see it all the time that there are people in America that are just, even around the world. I think one of the things that's happening maybe is that other countries are realizing, not all countries, but many countries are realizing that they can do what America has done for over 200 years, and we're seeing other people compete. I mean, you look at what's going on in Asia and China and things, and even in Russia. I was in Russia last year, and I had been in Russia in 1973, and the people were totally being pushed around at that time. They were just they were zombies almost walking around, and now they're joking and they're. I mean, they've still got a long way to go, but they've changed their attitude. So I think the contrast of America is not as great because a lot of other countries are starting to come around and understand they can do stuff, and I think the media focuses on it. But the heart of America, I think, still beats strong.
Yeah, I agree with you, too. And, in fact, I was trying to set you up a little bit with the question, and it didn't work because you came back with the same concept that I completely believe in. I think we're hearing a lot more about the downtrodden, and it as you said, it sells. But I'm with you too. I consult in a lot of schools, mainly K-12 type schools, and love seeing 15, 16, 17 year old kids that just have crazy dreams of going out and accomplishing things, because I do think that that's alive and well in America still. We're speaking with David Rolander, the author of the CEO Code, here on the Cody Talk Show. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back with the second segment and get a little bit more into the book and what led to the writing of the book. We'll be right back on Cody Talks.
A smoking dessert is as close as your fruit tree. I'm Mr. Barbecue with a hot barbecue tip next.
When grilling all your favorite meats, everyone agrees they just seem to taste better with Curly's famous barbecue sauce. Curly's has a zesty, tangy flavor and robust thickness that you just won't find anywhere else. Curly's famous barbecue sauce is always the sauce of choice. Fry mesquite, hickory, smoky, or hot and spicy. It doesn't matter what flavor you choose, as long as you choose Curly's. Try it for yourself. Curly's famous barbecue sauce.
Smoked fruit is a wonderful way to finish off any meal. I love to core out apples and pears, fill them with brown sugar, cinnamon, and sliced walnuts or almonds, and smoke them for about an hour on the grill. Take them out, add some ice cream, and you've got a smoking delicious dessert. I'm Bruce Bjorkman, Mr. Barbecue, and that's a hot barbecue tip.
Last year, the Kansas Communities That Care student survey revealed that the average age kids in Rice County start drinking is 14 years old. Kids who drink before age 15 are 5 times more likely to have alcohol problems when they are adults. So you do the math. To learn more, go to stopalcoholabuse.gov. Brought to you by the Rice County Coalition for Children and Families and the Regional Prevention Center at Preferred Family Healthcare.
KSKU.
Cody Talk.
All right, welcome back to the Cody Talk Show. We're live today with author David Rolander, author of the CEO Code. David, I've always we have a lot of authors on as guests. I think authors always have, if nothing else, there's a great story usually behind the thought process from, oh, I ought to write a book, to actually getting it done. What led to you thinking that you should write a book? And then obviously that part's easy. I think probably 500,000 people a day either think or are told they ought to write a book. And then so very few end up happening. I love that thought process and that conversation. I have 2 books, sitting completed that I haven't had the guts to publish yet. But what led to you thinking you ought to write a book? And then walk us through the processes of it just a little bit, because I love those stories.
Sure. I have been talking about writing a book for, I want to say, maybe decades, and I never got around to it. And I have written many articles and that kind of thing. I've written some training programs for management teams and executives, but I had never gotten around to the book. And I think, quite candidly, I was a little bit intimidated by the concept of writing a book, and did I really have anything worthwhile to say? And so in that sense, it was really all about my self-esteem and my self-concept, that I wasn't quite ready to do it. And you know how everything, timing, I was for years with Merrill Lynch, and I learned that that's back when Merrill was a big and important organization, different than today. And I learned that timing was so very, very critical. And it was the right time for me. Looking at my grandsons, my little Sixton is just, as I said, is 3 years old, and the dedication of the book is to my grandson. Sixten is his name. We're Swedish by descent, or heritage, if you will, and that's a Swedish name, Sixten. And so it in a very real way is about leaving a legacy. I've been around for so many years that I've learned an awful lot of lessons. Unfortunately, a lot of the lessons I've learned came out of failures or mistakes, and I think that's where we learn our big lessons. And so I share in the book, and I have a tendency to yak anyway, as you can tell, and I share in the book some really, really pithy stories about, like, when I transferred from I was in the Navy Reserve because I didn't want to get drafted in the Army, and so I joined the Navy Reserve when I was in college, and then how I transferred into the Air Force and became a fighter pilot, and why that happened. And it was a turning point in my life. it was an emotional experience that I had in the Navy that stimulated me wanting to shift from the Navy, which I had always glorified in my mind, into the Air Force, which I did. And I find that when we hit emotional peaks and valleys, it changes the direction of our life. In fact, what we talk about is how and why people change. And people change, I believe, because of one of two reasons. Either they have an emotional event, a significant emotional event, and they decide to change their course, or because they wake up and they see something and then they get an insight. And in my personal opinion, sometimes that insight comes from God, and sometimes it comes from ourselves or from our environment or whatever, and we decide that we're going to change. And then that's a long, arduous process of gradually changing. When we have a significant emotional event, like what's going on with the tornadoes and everything, some people are going to change their lives because of this. They're going to say, well, you know, enough is enough of whatever it is. And they're going to change. And that's a significant emotional event. There can be positive significant emotional events,
sure,
as well. So I fortunately wrote the book not because of, quote, a significant emotional event, but because it had been building up for years and years and years. And so finally I did a lot of research. I went to seminars on how to do it. Should I self-publish? Should I go through a publisher? And I finally went to a conference and got inspired and learned that the best way to do it was to write a proposal for what I wanted to do. And rather than write the book, just write a chapter and write a proposal and see if anybody's interested. And fortunately, I found six or seven publishers that excuse me, read the first chapter and the concept and got excited. And so I got an advance and I got a publisher and all that. And then, as you said, it was easy. It was just zip, 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 and it was done.
Yeah, I've gone through the exact same kinds of processes, and I'm still stuck on the, is it the stuff I have to say worthwhile? Does anybody actually want to hear it? So that's where I stick. But the sitting down and writing it, I think for a person that actually has something to say is a fairly easy process. So you wrote this book, you got it published. How long has the book been published?
It just came out in March.
So you're still on the exciting, still on the honeymoon phase of
of
the being an author. Tell us a little bit about the publicity side of it. I'm actually a marketing consultant guy. Who is your publisher, by the way?
Career Press, okay. Out of Northern New Jersey,
sure.
New York area.
On the publicity side of it. That part of it is exciting to me as well. What all do they have you do? Obviously, radio interviews. And what else is going on with the publicity of your book and the spreading of the word of it?
Well, that's a fun question. I too have done a little bit in sales and marketing over the years, and even taught it in universities and stuff. But the reality is that publishers don't do much. As you probably know,
yes.
The joke is that you ask a publisher how they're making money and how things go, and they say, well, we're losing about $2 a book, but we're making it up on the volume.
Yeah.
They just don't do much. And Career Press is a good press. It's a good publisher and all that stuff. But their view is, based on my experience, and I know tons of authors that have worked with other publishers, is they send it out there, and if it catches on, God bless, and if not, too bad. It's like Chicken Soup, the whole Chicken Soup series. I know both Mark Victor Hansen and Jack Canfield, and that's one of the most successful books ever. But they were turned down 120 or 140 times, and the reason it was successful is because they're just tenacious marketers, and they're telling people and doing radio talk shows and doing seminars and doing all that stuff still all the time. And so what I have done is all of your traditional things. Obviously, getting to speak with you is because my publicist person called you, not because of the publisher.
Right.
And so there's that. They're writing articles. I've written a bunch of articles. There's doing seminars. I speak all over the country. I've spoken all over the world, but the focus obviously is the book now. So speaking engagements. then I have started, the thing that's most exciting, I don't know, maybe you ought to even think about this, is I have started a group called the Maestro Group. And the Maestro Group is a group that I put together about 8-9 months ago. And it's very different than anything that I've seen as far as networking or marketing goes. My purpose is to, quote, spread the legacy and the ideas of what are in the book. So I invited a few people, friends I know, executives, to come to a particular restaurant for breakfast. And what we did was, I said, hey, well, welcome. Let's introduce each other to each other and sit down and let's just have a conversation. And so I give a little blip out of the book, you know, a little bit about trust, maybe 5 minutes. And then the rest of the time that we're having breakfast, we sit at tables of four, and we share who we are, what we're doing, and we just get acquainted, and we build relationships. And then from those relationships, we discover what resources the other people have. And then ultimately, what are the results? And people are loving it because it's not one of these deals where you come in and say, here's my card, where's your card, let's go, bang, 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 whatever. It's let's sit down, let's get acquainted. Let's understand who you are. Let's understand where you're coming from. And I'd like you to know about me. And as you develop a relationship with people, see what naturally flows out of that. And it's just a beautiful thing. In fact, it's caught on so well that we're modeling it and taking it across the country. We're going to do it hopefully in every major city and every city in the world, maybe at least in the U.S. And there's no money in it. It's inexpensive. We just charge $20, but it's the concept. And the selfish thing that we do is we use the principles in this book as a model for the meeting. How do you develop trust? How do you develop respect? Better understanding of other people, empathy, what's empathy, and then getting something done.
I love that concept. I'm a firm believer, and have preached to many a person that would listen, at least, that this mass manufacturing or the assembly line of building your network is just not the way to go. That I'm a firm believer in quality contacts and quality interaction over quantity. And have in fact not on purpose or consciously really gotten involved or started things like you're talking about, but I've preached for a long time in marketing and communications the importance of quality over quantity and connections and building your network. So I love that concept. It's very interesting, and I think so few people your CEO types, your jet setter types, I think a lot of what they're missing in their keys to success is quality relationships over trying to get to know every single person in their community, get to know some of them better or very well. So I really like that concept.
Cool. You know what else I bet you will really get excited about is there's a very good book out a lot of people like called The Power of Habit by a guy named Duhigg.
Sure.
And he breaks down how we make and break habits. It's a good book. It's a bestseller. I use the same concepts and talk about it in the book. In fact, one of my whole chapters is habits and how we develop habits and how we change habits. And there's a thing called the ultimate or the keystone habit. And a keystone habit, like a cornerstone, is a habit that changes your whole organization. Or for you, with this radio show, if you develop a new keystone habit or a new habit, it can change your whole demographic and all of your listeners and have an incredible movement that can spread all across the country. And it's a habit that you start or that you do that just changes the whole environment that you're in. And so the ultimate, in my book anyway, the ultimate keystone habit, and I've done this in companies with presidents, CEOs, and executives, is one-on-one meetings. Having a one-on-one meeting with your direct reports, with your wife, with each of your children. In other words, you have how many children?
Two.
I would highly recommend that you carve out, just like you hopefully have a date night with your wife, I would heartily encourage you to have a one-on-one time set aside every periodically, hopefully every week or month, with each of your children separately. Just you and the child going out for breakfast or just do something not where you're trying to pump them or manipulate them or anything like that. It's just where you sit down and you say, hey, Sally or Jimmy, how is it going? Let me tell you a little bit about what's going on with me and what's going on with you and what do you got planned for next week and how can I help you? How can we work together? You know, just bond. And my son, now 40 years old, and I are very, very, very close because we did that. And in fact, he had his birthday party yesterday, as I said, and he and I were talking that he and I just have to go out and have another party, just him and I, a birthday party for him, just him and I. One-on-one meetings, one-on-one time is so very, very, very valuable.
No, I couldn't agree more. That's a great concept and a great keystone habit to have. And it's, again, something that it's so simple. I talk a lot about, I don't know if you know Seth Godin is a marketing author. And I put Seth Godin and Dave Ramsey in this camp of, guys that have found a way to present something that we already knew in a way that makes us learn. The description of that being Dave Ramsey has built an empire, saying don't spend more money than you make. When my kids were 3 and 4 years old, they kind of understood that philosophy. It's not the hardest thing in the world. And I think one-on-one meetings, is that same type of thing that is in the big scheme of things. Every functioning human being in the United States knows that there's value in that. And we just need someone to even simplify it more, explain it to us and get us to think about it, to realize how powerful those are. And I love the fact that you brought up kids and wives and, friends and parents. There's been songs and poems written for the last 50 years about how sad it is to get to the end of your days and realize you haven't spent enough time with those people. And it's kind of mind boggling to me that, there's Don McLean has a famous song, about a father and a son who never had one-on-one meetings and get to the end of their days and regret it. And I love that concept. You put it in a nutshell like that and call it a keystone habit and talk about it. People are going to grasp it and get it. So I like that concept very much. David, we got to take another quick break. We're talking to author David Rolander on the Cody Talk Show, the author of the CEO Code. His website is davidrolander.com. It's ROHLANDER.com. There's a link on the bottom of the video. We'll be right back for the third segment of Cody Talks.
Everybody knows that the first is the best. So when you want a gaming experience that has it all, skip the new and flashy and get back to where it all started. The first. First Council Casino. Why? It's simple. More winners, more cash, more often. More winners means looser slots and action-packed tables. We've got over 1,400 of today's hottest and most popular slot machines, from pennies to progressives. And we're even adding more great games like Wizard of Oz, Epic Monopoly, Kiss, and NASCAR. Plus 8 live blackjack tables and bingo. Pull up a seat and let the winning begin. More cash means more jackpots. Don't wait to get your share of the winnings this month. So when you want it all, don't come in last. Get to the first. First Council Casino Hotel, North Highway 77 in Newkirk, just south of the Kansas State line. More winners, more cash, more often. Visit FirstCouncilCasinoHotel.com for more info.
Can you tell if these vegetables are being contaminated with bacteria that could cause paralysis? Listen, you can't see it either. Use different cutting boards so that the bacteria in raw meats and seafood and their juices doesn't touch prep surfaces for other foods like veggies. Raw food may contain bacteria that can make you very sick or worse. Roughly 3,000 Americans will die from food poisoning this year, but you can keep your family safer. Check your steps at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
KSKU. Cody Talk.
All right, welcome back to the Cody Talk Show. We're here with author David Rolander. David, I was going to get right to the wrap up here, give folks a chance to find out how to get your book, but I stumbled across something else on your website. Your website has a lot of great information on it, first of all. It's not just a buy my book website. There's a lot of other great, great reading, learning, good information there. But on your insights page, there's a little bullet point called impact. And it says, when you survive bullets and missiles on 208 combat missions as an Air Force fighter pilot, it gives you an edge, a focus, and a can-do attitude. I spent 4 years in the Marine Corps. By no means am I trying to equate that to 208 combat missions, but, I did spend 4 years in the Marine Corps and really credit the vast majority of my, my entrepreneurial success to that, focus and can-do attitude that the military gave me. You know, just day in and day out, asked to do things that I think the vast majority, and even I, before I was there, it's not like going in, I was some overachieving success story. But being there and being asked to do things that the vast majority of people, would just think was silly or not a good idea or a little too risky. And then going out and accomplishing them has really given me a sense of, you know, okay, I can do this or I'm going to go do this as opposed to sitting and worrying about it. It's that can do attitude that you list on your website. And I've oftentimes been asked by people, how do you accomplish that? How do you get to that focused can-do attitude outside of 208 combat missions as a fighter pilot for the United States Air Force? What's your thoughts on someone that asks you, how can I get that level of confidence that you gain from those life experiences?
Well, that's a great question, and I wish I had a more time to talk about it, but fundamentally what I believe happens is it's just like you eat an elephant one bite at a time, but you have the objective of and vision of the ultimate what it is you want to accomplish. We are, where there is no vision, the people perish. That's biblical. And if you have a vision that is bigger and better than yourself, and I'd wager that your vision and the stories you hear about guys on the ground, which I wasn't, I was up in the air, but with the sacrifice they made to save their buddy because they had a vision of brotherhood and caring for their buddies and what they did to achieve that. It's like the fellow that just got the Medal of Honor because he went back into Fallujah or wherever it was, someplace over there. 10 or 15 times. Why? To save a buddy's life. And so it's that vision of having something that you really, really care about, something bigger than yourself, I think is critical. And then it's one step at a time. When you focus on just yourself and me, 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 it's not only disgusting, but it doesn't inspire other people and it doesn't inspire you to greatness. You have to have a vision and something bigger than yourself. How can I help the world? How can I help other people? It's like the beginning of your show where you're talking about what can we do to help the people that are being traumatized and so difficult a situation because of these tornadoes. What can we do to sacrifice and give to others? It's that inspires you to do more than you're capable of, I think.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I sometimes put it together and word it, not only in my speaking, but some in my parenting too, as a refusal to fail. And I think when it's a group of people, I try to get my kids in when they're involved in team sports, to get some small glimpse of, you know, I'm going to do my part no matter what it takes because I'm going to refuse to fail for the rest of my team. I mean, when you have that team together, I think a little, you know, junior high basketball game is a little microcosm of the United States as a whole, that I think the United States was just founded by people, because we were these weirdos that stepped off into no man's land to form our own country, that our pride gave us this refusal to fail, mindset. And, we just drove on through, you know, I try to give my kids the vision of being on a wagon train coming out of Missouri and you hit the Rocky Mountains in your goal to get to California. And I think that only moron Americans would have trudged forward up that thing in a wagon. And I think that mindset of, yeah, our goal is to get to California. We're not going to stop because of this just incredibly intimidating land structure in front of us. I think that's the American mindset. And I think that, I think every day I'm thankful for the fact that, at 18 years old, I decided I wasn't mature enough for college. So I joined the Marine Corps. And got that kind of mindset that it doesn't matter what's in front of me. Failure is not an option. So we just have to do what's in front of us. And it's not always like that. Sometimes it's an exciting drive, can do thing. And sometimes it's, I've just got to do this, because it's the right thing to do. But, very interesting conversation today, David. It makes me excited about, reading your book. If I want to, tell the folks how to get a copy of the book, how to check it out. What's the route we take to do that?
Well, it's very easy. It's all over the internet. It's in every bookstore. It's supposed to be anyway. I believe it is Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and all that. And there's also a website dedicated just to the book, which is theceocode.com. And it explains how to get the book and where the book is. It's all over. So they can get it online. They can buy it from Amazon or wherever they want. Or if they run into me driving around, it's in the trunk of my car.
Absolutely. You got to have it available every time. I hate to be the guy that got stuck and somebody asked to buy your book and you didn't have one. Okay, so the CEOcode.com. Check it out, folks. It's I love the I tried to tie in a lot of what I thought was personal life stuff as well, because I don't know that the vast majority of our listeners are currently traditional CEOs in the sense of running a giant corporation. But I very much think that we're all our own CEO. And you know, just you individually as a person being run as a company and run efficiently, is truly one of the cornerstones of happiness, that you approach your life that way and lead to success. So David, thank you very much for your time this morning. Whether you're an early bird or not, we still got you up off early for this. So thanks for coming on. I appreciate it. All right. Well, thanks again. And we'll talk to you again in the future and see how things are going.
I'd love it. That'd be great. Thanks a bunch. I really appreciate it.
You bet. Here. Thank you. David Rolander, author of the CEO Code. Check it out. There's a link on CodyTalks.com right below this video, or just go to theceocode.com or DavidRolander.com. We're going to take another quick break and we'll be right back with the final segment of Cody Talks.
Get your fix on K96 with the June Jaunt, June 1st and 2nd in Ellenwood. Tour the historic underground world, shop the outdoor antique and unique market, stroll through the classic car show, fun for kiddos in the kids' creative corner, battle a night, or play medieval games. Delicious food choices throughout Ellenwood. Sunday, June 2nd is family day with a brunch and family bingo at the American Legion. Visit ellenwoodchamber.com or call 620-566-7353. So hit the road, Jack, and head to the K96 June Jaunt in Ellenwood.
If you are a young man living in the United States, please pay attention to this important message. All men, ages 18 to 26, living in the United States, must register with the Selective Service System. Registration is the law. Failure to register affects your eligibility for many benefits, like federal jobs, job training, and college loans. And if you're an immigrant, no matter what your status, you must be registered to qualify for citizenship. Men are urged to learn the facts at SSS.gov, the official source for information about Selective Service. This has been a message of this radio station and the Selective Service System. Men, that's SSS.gov, or go to your local post office to register.
KSKU.
Cody Talks.
All right, we're back. Very cool conversation there. If you're just listening and thinking that a book called The CEO Code doesn't apply to you, I would firmly disagree. I think that his concept of all of us running our lives as our own little company, and it doesn't have anything to do with money. If you're sitting out there thinking that you don't want to be Gordon Gekko from Wall Street, that's not what I'm talking about. Just understanding the concepts that it takes to lead people can very much be influential and decisive and keys to success in running your own lives. On the break there, when we were finishing up with David on the phone, he mentioned his son's website too. Just Rohlander.com, Shut up,
Pete. Come on, spit it out.
Rohlander.com. His son, Nathan Rohlander, has some artwork that has been on Modern Family. Very cool artist. So check that out as well, Rohlander.com. And please at least contemplate the concept of checking out David's book and considering the idea of understanding the habits that lead to people being good CEOs also are habits that will lead to you achieving success in whatever it is. And success not necessarily meaning just making more money. To me, success has always been waking up and going to bed happy. And he's got some really cool concepts and thoughts about that that I think will apply to you and your lives. Heath, the only other thing I had on my notes for today, if we had time, was the NBA Finals. I know you're a huge NBA fan.
Oh, yes, Cody.
Heath couldn't come up with any of the teams that were actually still involved in the NBA, any of the three. There's only three, so it wasn't all that hard. And so then he got on the internet and looked it up, and he told me that SAS had won and didn't even know who SAS is. The San Antonio Spurs, by the way. Who have won their side of the bracket and we're now waiting on Miami and Indiana, to finish out their series. It's a best of seven series, and they're tied 3-3. So that means there's only one more game left, Heath.
Yeah.
Because three is six.
Yeah.
I really couldn't care less about the NBA either, I gotta tell you, until right now. Like, now I'm excited. I like the San Antonio Spurs. There's a whole story there with Tim Duncan, who's been a legend of the NBA, and still actively playing. I believe is retiring after this season, if I didn't get that wrong. And then obviously Miami. Have you heard of LeBron James?
I've heard of LeBron James, yes.
He's a pretty good little basketball player right now. You got LeBron James and Dwayne Wade. I think Chris Bosh is healthy, back again healthy now. So the Miami Heat is slowly trying to make themselves a dynasty. They're a long ways from it. I realize they won last year, but that is a long ways from being a dynasty. But they have the capability of doing it. And the Indiana Pacers trying to be a little dynasty buster there, and giving the Heat everything they want in this series. I don't know if you pay any attention to the NBA, but if the Heat win this one, people are really, really, really going to start talking about LeBron James bucking Michael Jordan as the greatest professional basketball player of all time. I think the consensus is probably out there with the majority of people that Michael is still the greatest. Because of the fact that he had, I believe, six, if not seven rings, NBA championship rings. But LeBron James, the season that he's had this year, if you're still in the Michael Jordan camp, which I am still in the Michael Jordan camp as the greatest basketball player of all time, but it's very much about to get, a little bit more heated, a little bit more realistic to be in the LeBron James camp because of the season that he's had this year, just record-breaking season. As well as the fact that he's finally settled into a team that looks like they could win multiple championships. Dwayne Wade, has enough years left to be a leader on that team, to see if they can come around and buck the Chicago Bulls of the Michael Jordan, Phil Jackson era. And, so if you're like me and the NBA does nothing for you during the regular season, now's the time to start paying attention to it. because if Miami wins this one, it's very much going to be a part of sports history. First of all, back-to-back doesn't happen very often. And second of all, about to be some real legit arguments on whether or not LeBron James is going to surpass Michael Jordan. It's not going to happen just because he won this year, but everything that LeBron accomplishes as he goes through brings him closer and closer to, you've heard of Michael Jordan?
Yes, I've heard of Michael Jordan.
Okay. So Heath has heard of Michael Jordan and LeBron James, so that's good. He at least realizes that there are people that play basketball for money in the United States.
Yes.
Okay. So we're good there. WNBA, you're a big WNBA fan?
No.
I don't think anyone is. And it's no knock on women. It's just, I just dug a hole. Never mind. We're backing out of that. Forget it. Everybody loves the WNBA.
I'm more of a NASCAR fan. That's my sport that I
Who's your guy?
There's a couple. I like Dale Jr.
You have to have a guy, though. You have to have, and doesn't all NASCAR fans have a guy, and then maybe they like some others a little bit?
Michael Waltrip was always my favorite one, but he doesn't drive
How
all the time.
How old are you? He's old.
Oh, well, yeah, but he still drives every once in a while. But Dale Jr., I root for him, so, you know, he tried
okay,
to
Okay, okay, hold on. We got a couple minutes here. Why Dale Jr.? Never won a championship, right?
Right. He's never won one.
Really doesn't win that many races. I mean, he's not at the bottom, but you say he's
the most popular. He's one of the most popular drivers.
I know, but why? That's what I'm saying. I don't really understand. Is he totally riding his dad's coattails on this popularity thing?
Could very well be.
Because his dad was the man. Yes. I mean, his dad won championships. His dad won races. Kind of the one of the tough guys. I like the tough guys. I like the fact that in NASCAR, every once in a while, if another driver makes him mad, they just punch him in the mouth and the back in the driver's area behind the pits. I like that part of it. I like people that are that passionate about the thing that they do. But that's not Dale Jr. I like Dale Jr. too. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I think he's a very personable guy. The things you see about him, he's a pretty classy guy. But I've never understood why he's, I mean, quite honestly, when you drive around and you see the stickers in the back of cars and you see the NASCAR, not memorabilia, but fan gear. I would guess that if he's not number one, Dale Jr. is close to the top of the most popular driver. But it's not because of winning.
True.
He's never won a championship. He doesn't win more than his share
maybe
of races.
Maybe one race a year. Maybe not
so
even that.
So what's the deal? Why is he so popular?
I don't know.
I really thought you were going to have some great answer for me since you said he's one of your favorite drivers. I like him, too. I admit that I like him because of his dad, though. I mean, I always think that this year's the year for Dale Jr., and it never really is.
Sometimes he starts off good in the beginning of the season, and then it just kind of fades off towards the end.
It's also a tricky deal. I think that most of the non-NASCAR fans in the world that get judgmental about NASCAR have no idea of the technical details and all of the things that could go wrong. You know, it's very hard to actually win a NASCAR race. First of all, it's insanely physically demanding. For those of you out there that don't think NASCAR drivers are athletes, I would invite you to get into a car and go 190, 200 miles an hour for 4 or 5 hours in a row while, in fact, other people are running into you and bumping you. Anyway, I got off on a tangent there, but very difficult sport, very hard to win a race. So many pieces have to fall into place. It's not literally just stomp your right foot down and turn left for 400 or 500 miles. It's very technical, very scientific, maybe more technical and scientific than any other sport. Those guys are intelligent guys. I mean, they're guys that can think their way through a race as well as, and then the pit crew and the things that they do is maybe one of my favorite parts of the whole.
Because, you know, they always think about, you know, do they have enough fuel to get to the end?
The science of tires, the science of draft and airflow. No one on a consistent basis is relying on science and technology to win their sport as much as NASCAR teams are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One word answer there.
I said Heath up and he just goes with it. Yeah. Anyway, I love the, I'm always interested in what driver people like. I mean, cause really who wins the most?
Jimmy Johnson.
For the longest time, it was Jimmy Johnson. Is he still this year winning? He's kind of faded a little bit this year.
He's kind of faded a little bit. I think he's won one or two this year.
But never really achieved the same popularity. I mean, in every other sport, you look at the NBA, the NFL, everyone that's not a diehard fan of someone bandwagons to who's winning the most. For some reason in NASCAR, the bandwagoners go to Dale Jr.
Yeah. Correct.
That was not a multiple word answer. That was 3 1 word answers. All right. Well, I'm
I like to follow Clint Boyers because
he's from Kansas. Yeah. So really, you just have no justification for who you like. It's the same reason that there's any Royals fans left in the world. It's because they're the team that's where they're from.
Yeah.
You know, the Royals hired George Brett back as their hitting coach.
I saw that.
I may break out the Royals gear. I'm a giant George Brett fan. Nobody fought harder to win in a professional sport than George Brett. He loved winning and took the Royals to a World Series because of his drive and because of the fact that at the time the Royals had ownership and management that liked to win, but that's a different story. Bandwagon fans. I never understood Dale Jr.'s popularity. Even though I like him, I've never grasped why he was so big, other than just saying he's riding his dad's coattails to popularity because he just hasn't been a consistent winner in the sport for the last ever.
He did win the Daytona 500.
Okay, you can't go back and say the Royals won a game last week. I mean, even if it was a big game, you know, you could say, okay, the Royals beat the Cardinals in the interleague game, maybe their biggest game of the year.
The Royals started off strong this year, didn't they?
The Royals start off strong every year for the first 4 games. Then they just plummet.
Cleaning crew.
Oh, that's good because you made a mess in here. All right. Well, good show today. Again, check out the CEOcode.com. David Rolander's kind of piqued my interest in his book, having a conversation with him. I really like talking to authors and kind of getting the behind the scenes thoughts on a book before I read it. And I'm now going to go read the CEO Code. So check it out yourselves. And thanks for joining us today on Cody Talks. We are back. I was on vacation last week, but we'll be back this Wednesday with a web only Wednesday and right back here next Sunday with Cody Talks. Thanks.